7. Max called for wax to make each leap higher, faster. The boys' shouts of glee carried over the rushing wind and flapping clothing. And rusts if that wasn't infectious. Wax had been a solemn child, a trend that had continued into adulthood. But even he appreciated the rush that came from a well-executed steel push. The sudden explosion of speed, the moment of stillness at the zenith, the lurch in the stomach as the plummet began. It wasn't like any other experience a man could have, at least not and survive. In the distance, a Malwish trade ship hovered into the city, flying using their strange Etmetal devices, as the two of them bounded across the city, afforded a view that was somehow reductive and expansive at once. From up so high, you could see the octant divisions along major roadways. You could understand and feel the different neighborhoods, the crunched-up, forced familiarity of the slums, the expansive yet isolated grounds of the manors. Once, Wax had assumed this kind of experience, not just the height but the motion while traversing the city from above, would always be reserved for coin shots. Then the Malwish airships had taken that assumption and tossed it out a window from 3,000 feet. Regardless, something about this perspective felt like it belonged to him. This was his city. He'd returned to it and had, over the years, come to love it. It represented the best that people could achieve, a monument to ingenuity, a home to thousands of different ideas, types of people and experiences. At Max's urging, he took them higher, using skyscrapers as his anchors to push upward, back and forth, until they landed near the top of one building in particular, Alstrom Tower. The penthouse was their home, and Wax had picked it specifically. It was tough getting to the peak of a two-tall building with steel pushes as your anchors ran out below. Fortunately, this one had several tall skyscrapers unusually close, and that gave him anchors to push himself inward. Today, Wax didn't stop at their penthouse. He took them to the roof, where there was a little built-in platform for a worker to latch on and lower window cleaning devices. Wax settled onto it, and Max unhooked, though he was still tethered to the harness by a strong cord. Wax wasn't worried about its reliability. Steris had designed it. Max took out a pouch of twirly seeds and began dropping them off the side of the building, watching them go spinning down toward the busy street below. Despite the height, Wax could hear cars honking on the roadway. 6 years ago, there was barely a horse-drawn carriage to be seen in the arteries below. Progress here was like a wrecking crew. You moved with it, or you became rubble. The platform faced north. To his left, the shimmering waters of Hammondar Bay were a vast highway toward, well, he didn't rightly know what. The people of the basin weren't explorers. For all their love of stories about Wax in his young days, or worse, that fool Jack, most were content to enjoy their city. That was a problem with Ellendale. It had everything you thought you'd need, so why go looking elsewhere? They hadn't even realized there was an entire southern continent out there until an airship had sailed up to investigate the basin. Yes, there had been expeditions since then, but most people were content here, and he couldn't blame them. His best efforts at improving life had been focused on the basin. He didn't know what to do about the Malwish. 6 years, and he still found the suddenly expansive size of the world intimidating. Max hopped up and down with glee, throwing out an entire handful of twirly seeds. The boy's fascination with heights made Kath uncomfortable. But that was what happened when, from infancy, you were often strapped to a father who found ordinary means of transportation too time-consuming. Wax looked north toward the roughs, toward wonder, mystery, and a life he'd loved. He felt rusts. He didn't feel sad. He blinked, cocking his head. Ever since his return, Ellendale had felt like a duty to him. Adventure and comfort had both been outside the city, calling to him. Though things had improved over the years, he'd continued to feel it. That call. Until today. Today, he remembered the parts of his life he'd loved in the North, but he didn't want them back. He had a life here he loved equally, maybe more, judging by the warmth he felt as Max laughed. This was where he belonged. More, this was where he wanted to belong. It felt calming to realize these things. He'd finally stopped grieving, hadn't he? With a grin of his own, he scooped Max up and gave the child a powerful hug, though Max had been too wiggly even as a baby to stand that sort of thing for long. Soon, at the boy's urging, they were playing a game of fetch, a variety Max had invented a few months back. Max tossed a wicker ball with a tiny metal weight at its center, then Wax tried to launch it onto the top of a nearby building. The wicker would keep it from doing damage if it fell, but the metal let him aim it. Once it was in place on a roof, they would jump over and retrieve it. Max threw, but Wax struggled to get the ball to go far enough. "Toss it higher," he suggested to Max once they'd recovered it.
"If I throw it up," Max complained, "it will come down on our heads. I want to go onto that building over there."
"Height first," Wax said. "Trust me. The higher you throw it, the farther I can get it to fly." Max tried again. With more height to the throw, Wax was able to land the ball on the rooftop Max wanted. Then they leaped after it. He wondered what the people in the neighboring skyscrapers thought of the frequent sight of a senator shooting past their windows with a child strapped to his back. Unfortunately, the fun of the game could only distract him for so long. They'd been playing for half an hour when he topped a building and was confronted by an awesome sight. The Malwish ship he'd seen earlier had come closer. The wooden construction, moved by giant fans, loomed in the air over Ellendale. Wax had seen Basin attempts to design their own airships using helium or hot air, but the size of the cabin those ships could lift, in the most optimistic of projections, was nothing compared to what the Malwish could field. Their ships soared, a fortress in the sky. This was no trade ship, as he'd thought earlier. It was a warship. A show of force, though not an overtly hostile one, as it was approaching slowly and low in the sky. It was meant to make a statement, not a threat. So, with Max strapped securely back into place, Wax launched them into the air toward the vessel, intent on finding out what was going on.